Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I'm super excited for this episode. Lauren and I are going to bust the top four myths for burning fat, both in the gym and in the kitchen. So be sure to listen up, take some notes if you're not driving, and on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hi, Lauren.
Hey, we're back to it just being you and I.
I know, hope you guys aren't sick of us, but we're back. But we do have a lot of more guests coming up, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, we've got some great guests lined up. So today we're talking about fat burning food myths and how to burn fat in the gym.
This is, I think if you look on Google, you can search like the top searched in Google or YouTube and how to burn belly fat is almost always one of the top most searched items. It's crazy.
And how many of you, if we were about to tell you right now, this is how you can burn belly fat, how many of you would just like lean in a little closer? Even if you know, like, that sounds a little too good to be true, like, but you'd still be interested to know. So I think that's why those articles get the clicks that they do, is because we're like, wait, is there something I'm missing? So we're going to bust some of those myths and give you the truth behind fat in general. All right, so myth number one is my heart rate needs to be 60 to 70% of my heart rate max in order to burn fat during a workout. And what this is referring to is the fat burning zone that you might see on a treadmill versus the aerobic zone, which is higher than 60 to 70%. Trainer Katie, what do you have to say about this one?
This is actually true. So to be in that quote unquote fat burning zone, if you take the max heart rate that your heart rate could go at and you're still alive, 60 to 70% of that. So it's kind of lower, more of your moderate intensity. If you were to put this into perspective of just kind of thinking what it would feel like, but it is true. So your body has three macronutrients that it lives off of, right? Carbohydrates, protein, and fat. So when you are working at a lower capacity, your body is burning fat. Now, the issue with this is that while, yes, you're using more of your energy stores from fat, your total caloric expenditure, right? So how many calories you're burning overall is much lower because you're not pushing at that higher intensity. So when you look at the grand scheme of things, yes, you're burning fat, but a calorie is a calorie, right? So you're still not burning as much. So you might work out for an hour on the elliptical in that, you know, nice, easy fat burning zone, but you may only burn 200-300 calories versus if you ran or did interval training for, you know, 20-30 minutes, you're going to burn the same amount, if not more, because you're working at a higher intensity.
Which brings us back to the point that we love to make time and time again, which is variety. You always want to look for variety in your workouts. You want to have those days that you're working on maybe intervals or sprinting, really pushing yourself, and then you want to have other days that you're working at more of a moderate level. Now, if you're interested in what Katie was talking about with the max heart rate, the way to calculate that for yourself is 220 minus your age. And then you take 60 to 70% of that number. So 220 minus your age and then 60 to 70% is the zone that you yourself would burn fat in. Now, of course, everyone's different. That's just an equation based on your age, but it's pretty good to go by.
Yeah, there's actually different fancy tests that I know we did this in college of measuring the exact, someone's going to get me wrong on this, but I think it's like the respiratory quotient is that basically the percentage of what you're burning. Is it coming from fat or carbs? There's a certain number and calculation to do. But there are tests out there. If you're just a nerd and you want to know, go to your local university and see if they have. Basically, you have to get hooked up to this whole tube mask thing that you wear and work at different intensities. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, so moving on. Myth number two is a low-carb diet is the best way to lose fat. Okay, RD Katie, put your RD hat on. Is a low-carb diet the best way to lose fat?
There's some truth to this, and I think we've talked about this on other podcast episodes, but low carb is different from a ketogenic diet. Now, a ketogenic diet does burn fat. That's where the word keto comes from, the word ketones, which is what your body produces when your body's burning primarily fat. What people often mix up and why people aren't always successful with a ketogenic diet is that they're eating high fat and lower carbs, but not low enough carbohydrates to where your body goes into ketosis. So you pretty much have to deplete your body from all the carbs or glycogen stores before your body gets into ketosis. For most people, again, this is different, I believe, for everyone, is about 25 grams of carbohydrates or lower. Now, to put that into perspective, one piece of toast is 15 grams, or one, like a quarter, half cup of a grain that, or like a small apple, that's 15 grams. So if you were to eat, you know, two pieces of fruit, not even large, not your big Honeycrisp, like your small pieces of fruit, maybe you did that and then a piece of bread or something throughout your day, that would knock you out of ketosis. I hope you're following me because it's kind of a lot. So if you're out of ketosis, but you're still eating high fat, you're still over consuming in the grand scheme of things. So when you look at calorie wise, you're still consuming a high amount of calories, but your body's never actually going into ketosis. Now, if I lost you, go back to one of our other episodes where we talk a lot more on fad diets if you're interested in the why or the how behind that.
So basically, just because you're eating low carbs and high fat doesn't mean you're in ketosis and doesn't mean that you're losing fat, right?
Correct. Myth number three. There are specific supplements that I can take to reduce belly fat, aka I can take raspberry ketones, or I can put on a certain, eat a fat blocker burning supplement. Gosh, there's so much out there, I don't even know. But, and that will cause me to lose belly fat specifically. Trainer Lauren, what are your thoughts on this?
My initial thought is, people of the world, if it sounds too good to be true, if it sounds too easy, it is. It is. There's a reason that the foods that you think of like unhealthy foods, like pizza and burgers, like those are unhealthy foods. You know, that's not like a big myth that like the media is trying to push and you just actually have to eat, you just have to take a supplement and you can eat those foods. Like if it were that easy, it would be that easy and we'd all be doing it, right? So I think this one is, you just have to kind of trust yourself that like, come on, this can't honestly be true.
This is kind of a two-part myth buster. Let's bust the second part first. So what exactly is spot reduction and why can't I, you know, I've got bingo arms, is that what people call them? You know, bingo arms. Why can't I get rid of my fat on my arms? Or I've had kids or whatever it is. Why can't I get rid of the belly fat just in my abdomen? I'm fine with my arms, but just in my abdomen, I want to get rid of the fat there. Tell us why that's a myth.
The myth behind that is you can't target a specific part of your body to lose fat. You can target muscles. So you can strengthen specific muscles. And I think this is why it's really confusing for people, is because they go into a group fitness class and the instructor is talking about bicep curls to strengthen your biceps and tricep kickbacks to strengthen your triceps. Yeah, you are strengthening those muscles, but you aren't targeting those areas to lose fat. You're just simply strengthening the muscle. So when you lose fat and you lose weight, you're losing it everywhere. You can't work out a certain area and tell your body, okay, just lose fat in my upper body because I'm only working out my upper body. No, the muscles in those areas will get stronger and you will burn calories, which will help you lose weight all over. In addition, there are certain parts of your body for all of us that we lose weight last. And a lot of them are around our midsection. So I think that's another reason why people think, oh, I just need to lose weight around my midsection because I've already lost the weight in my arms and I don't need to lose any more weight in my arms, or I don't need to lose any more weight in my legs. I just want to, I just need to target the hips and belly area. Well, that could just be the last place that you hold on to weight. And what that means is you just need to keep continuing with whatever you've been successful at with losing weight in general. All right, so that's kind of the exercise side of it. But Katie, let's go back to the first part of it, supplements. So what's the truth behind these supplements?
I see this almost daily with my patients who are overweight or obese. They've taken weight loss or diet pills in the past, and some of them have actually been successful. So if you guys remember, depending on your age, if you remember Fen-Phen or Ephedrine that was out on the market, that stuff worked. I mean, part of it is because a lot of those pills are appetite suppressants, meaning you're not hungry, so you pretty much don't eat, and they're thermogenics, basically, so they make you super hot. They have these high doses of caffeine, so when you do exercise, you're just sweating nonstop, and that stuff works until you get off of it, and then you go back to baseline, and your hormones get regulated again, because you can't be on those sort of things forever, and then you go back to your baseline, and you haven't really made any behavior modifications, so you're going to gain the weight back. It's just almost inevitable. But just like Lauren said, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, you have to kind of go back to that. Is this sustainable? While it might work temporarily, great, but you're not actually, it's almost like a Band-Aid. You're putting a Band-Aid on the situation, or it's placebo effect, right? Think of like pre-workout. You know, if you, sometimes you might not even need it, but taking it a little bit make you feel just like amped up for your workout, even though maybe it's a super low dose of caffeine. It's just the habit and that ritual that's getting you pumped up for your workout. You also have to be very careful with supplements. This is one we could do a whole nother podcast on, because those things are not regulated by the Federal Drug Administration, the FDA. So there can be different contaminants, different sorts of ingredients in there that aren't tested, that aren't safe, and things can be out there on the market, and it's not until that a lawsuit's filed or someone gets injured or dies over it from a heart attack that they get pulled off the market, which is kind of scary. One website that I like to use is called labdoor.com, where it's a third party, and they test a bunch of different supplements. I mean, I'm not saying that you should take supplements at all, but if you're curious, you should look at some of the things that maybe you've done in the past. Or Consumer Lab is also another one that tests products out there on the market. I'm hoping, this is my perception, but my hope is that fat burning supplements and weight loss supplements in general are a thing of the past. I think we're a lot smarter now. It's less common. I know when my sister was in high school, I remember finding in her drawers all these different diet pills and sort of things. And I think we're just smarter now that we do lots of it, but I could be naive.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You have to be a smart consumer. So if you hear about this supplement that seems awesome and maybe too good to be true, look at what it's doing. I mean, why is it helping you burn fat, or why is it helping you lose weight? You can look into it and find out for yourself before experimenting with it.
The thing that blows my mind too, and I see this with just people in general who haven't had success with weight loss, is that, you know, you try all these supplements and then take a step back. Have you ever just looked at your diet and how you're eating? You know, start with what you can add and what you can fix on your own first before you start seeking out supplements and getting outside help, because there's really no point in a lot of these supplements if you're not eating and exercising right.
But I think that's almost the way that the supplements are marketed now, is that like everyone knows, okay, yeah, I eat too much of this or I eat too much of that, but I want to eat too much of that. So how can I supplement and make my diet better? Well, you can't fix a quote unquote bad diet with supplements. All right, moving on to our last myth, myth number 4, eating unhealthy fats will make me fat. Artie, Katie, what do you have to say about this one?
So there are different types of fats. There's fats that are healthier for us and fats that are not so healthy that can lead to high cholesterol, high triglycerides. Basically, think of fat kind of clogging in your arteries, you know, where you hear, that'll clog your arteries. You know, that's what they're considering, is more of the saturated fat and the trans fat. Now, trans fat, you've probably seen, there's been a lot more push to lower these. So there used to be a lot of these in your chips, your cookies, more of your junk food, but most of America knows now how bad that trans fat is for you and how it can lead to heart disease and those different sort of things, that you're seeing less and less of those in different products. So what they are using are different fats, such as considered your unsaturated fat. Basically, it has to do with the chemical bonds of how these fats are created and how they're broken down in your body. Now, there is some truth that eating unhealthy fats can make you fat because, again, kind of going back to calories, it's very easy to overconsume. 1 gram of fat has 7 calories per gram. So that adds up pretty quickly compared to protein and carbohydrates, which are 4 calories per gram. Alcohol is even the most. It's got 9 calories per gram. So when you look at the serving size, the calories add up quickly.
But what you're saying is that if you were to cook your veggies in butter versus if you were to cook your veggies in olive oil, you can still overdo the olive oil and you can still overdo the butter, which is going to be overdoing the calories.
Right. Now, something like olive oil or more of your plant-based products are considered unsaturated. So they are a little bit healthier. They lead to increasing the good HDL, the good cholesterol, which helps move LDL or the bad cholesterol out of your body. So saturated fats would be more of your animal products. So think like some of your red meats, you know, the skin on your chicken wing, those types of things. Unsaturated fats would be like your avocados, your olive oil, those types of things. So it's recommended that you keep your saturated fats, you limit those along with your sugars to less than 10% of your total caloric intake. So basically meaning just limit it. If you can avoid it, that's best. But by limiting that, chances are you're limiting just the amount of junk and processed foods that you're eating. So it's going to contribute to an overall healthy diet. This kind of drives me crazy with coconut oil, right? There's a huge buzz out. We call it the coconut craze. And a lot of people don't realize that coconut oil is still a saturated fat. So it's still, while yes, there's different health benefits to it, it still is something that should be consumed in moderation. So to wrap up today's episode, we're going to be a little honest. So Lauren, what's one of the most embarrassing or things you're just like, I can't even believe I'm admitting this on our podcast right now, that you've done to lose weight?
It's always the people that are talking about diets, like the RDs and all the other people that are trying to give you advice. Like, they've done it all because they're so fascinated by this topic, right? So that's my excuse as to why I've done these things. But the thing that comes to my mind was right after college, I did this like cabbage cleanse, and it was basically like this cabbage soup that you made like a whole ton of, and then I think you ate it like 3 times that day, and that was the only thing you ate. I mean, it was real food, but still. I remember I made it, and I probably wasn't supposed to be exercising while doing this stupid cleanse, but of course I was. But yeah, I think I had it for all my meals that day, and I had it for dinner, and then I went on a run. Why? It moved straight through my body. I had to like sprint all the way home just so I could go to the bathroom. So basically, I might have lost like 1 pound only because it like cleared my body out.
That sounds awful, but bowel movements and running is a real thing. Did you know running actually like stimulates your bowels? And so that's why you hear marathon runners crapping their pants.
That would be insane.
I can't even imagine. I don't know what I'd do. I guess it would depend how much I cared about the race. Do you swallow your pride and keep going? Do you just sit like bridesmaids in the middle of the middle of the street and just cry? I don't know. Now that we're all envisioning that. Okay, so here's what would you do?
Yeah, but at least with bridesmaids, she had a dress on. Like, you would have like next to nothing because you would have like running leggings on. Like, that's the part of it that I could not imagine. When you wouldn't even have like an extra shirt. I don't know. I probably would just like run into a porter potty and just die right there.
I could go on this topic of the what. That's like my favorite thing to do, is talk in hypothetical situations of things that would never happen. Anyways, so my embarrassing thing, at least that I can think of, is I think it was my freshman year of college, sometime in college, right out of high school. I because my sister took diet pills. So if she took them, then they must be safe. And I'm 18 now, so I can buy whatever I want in GNC. So I bought these thermogenic pills, or might have been online. I don't even remember. But all I remember is taking them and then going to work out and just, I'm a heavy sweater, don't get me wrong. But this was like uncontrollable. Felt like my heart was going to burst out of my chest. And if you went to Purdue or you were in college in the Midwest, do you ever remember walking to class in your winter coat and then you get in the building and it's burning? Well, that was me. Like I was sweating for like hours. And after a while about how I felt, I'm like, this probably isn't a good idea. And so, yeah, I probably did lose weight, but all through sweat and feeling awful.
Yeah. And I would love to know, like, if there's anyone out there that has taken thermogenics, like, for months, I want to know, like, did you actually lose weight? Because I can't imagine you losing, like, more than maybe, like, 5 pounds, right? Like, can you really lose? You can't really lose, like, 10 to 20 pounds of thermogenics. I've never heard of that.
I think it depends how much weight you have to lose, but my guess is a lot of the weight loss comes from the anxiety of feeling, what is going on? Why do I feel this way?
You then like stop going out. You're sweating so much, you just stay in your bed and then you stop eating. This is the key to losing weight.
Speaking of sweating so much, this is maybe TMI. But I also in high school was on acne medicine and I would go to bed in a sports bra and shorts, right? Dead of winter, wake up sweating like profusely. And it wasn't until like a couple months into the medication, like they list off 1,000 symptoms that you could maybe have. And they said that just casually, you know, how the doctors just run through it. And I was like, yes, I didn't know what was wrong. I thought I was having like night terrors, but it was because of that medication. So side effects of things are just crazy.
Yeah, whenever you take any sort of supplement, you are also inviting all of those crazy symptoms that can come in. You just never know. You never know. Well, that was fun. If you guys have any crazy stories from using your own supplements or diet crazes, let us know, of course. Key takeaways from this episode is if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Instead of adding stuff to your diet, just look at what you're eating and see what you can fix from there. Try to limit those saturated fats and make sure you're getting a good variety of exercise in, both intense and moderate. That's all that we have for you guys for this episode. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Write us a review about what you like about the podcast, what you wish we would talk about, all that good stuff. And of course, find us on Instagram, Fit Friends Happy Hour. We will talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.